live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the daughter of the owners of the Cashelmara Hotel in Mobile says the family could have been attending a funeral today after the building was set alight at the weekend. Donegal County Council is asking the government to clarify a number of planning issues amid claims that the decisions are being made on the basis of guidelines which the EU has called into question. A gun attack in Derry last night has been widely condemned, and the Campaign for a Clean Estuary in Mobile is accusing Irish Water of persisting with a discredited model for new Mobile surge system. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15. But first the news, the HSE has confirmed that 10 of the 19 beds in Letterkenny University Hospital's short stay ward will be in operation by January, provided staff is in place. In response to a question put forward by Councillor Jerry McMonagall at today's Regional Health Forum meeting, the HSE said they have received some funding under SEALTA's winter planning process to open the beds and will continue to work towards opening the remaining 9 beds dependent on availability, funding and staff recruitment. However, Councillor McMonagall is now seeking further clarity on where the €1.8 million in funding announced by government for the reopening of the ward is to be spent.
I was asked the question, had we received any monies yet from government in relation to opening up the short stay 19 bed ward, and the answer I got was that they had received funding to open up 10 extra beds in the short stay ward, and they were now in the process of recruiting staff to manage that there. So what I pushed them further on was a part of the 1.8 million that had been promised by the government. They couldn't clarify that, and that they were saying it was part of their winter funding from the HSE, but that they were really pleased that they were getting 10 extra beds.
And while it was meant to be a 19-bed ward, we are hopeful that the 10 beds at least will be open now in January.
Yeah, when I pushed them and asked them how far on were they in recruiting the staff, they said that they would be happy to say that they hope to have the 10 beds operational by January, and they were confident of that. So, look, it's very much welcome that we will have 10 extra beds by January. It's a very busy time for the hospitals. It has been for over 18 months, 2 years now. This is something that we in Sinn Féin have campaigned around and gathered petitions and all. So I would say it is a positive response, but we would hope that the other 9 beds within the short stay would be opened sooner rather than later.
The Taoiseach says no country can be fully prepared for no-deal Brexit, but Ireland will be as prepared as possible. Cabinet ministers were shown 2 contingency plans this morning for Brexit, depending on how the British House of Commons votes. It will ensure hundreds of extra customs officers are in place by March and set out details for extra infrastructure needed at ports and airports. Leo Varadkar said they are taking steps to prepare for a no-deal Brexit.
Those kind of preparations are very much underway. I've no doubt that we can be totally prepared for a Brexit with a deal, because we have the transition period, because we know what will happen if there's no deal, because we'll have a backstop. I think it's going to be impossible for any country to be fully prepared for a no deal, cliff edge, hard Brexit. But we will be as prepared as we possibly can be.
The daughter of the owners of the Cashelmara Hotel in Mobile says the family could have been attending a funeral today after the building was set alight at the weekend. Aoife McKenna has lived in the hotel with her parents for the past 4 years and spoke on today's 9 till noon show of arriving back to the hotel last Saturday night to see the building on fire and her father trying to get out. She told Greg Hughes the family agreed to a contract to house asylum seekers after 2 attempts to sell the hotel fell through. Ms McKenna says while she expected some opposition, she didn't expect an arson attack on the building.
What other choice did we have? You know, because the sale fell through twice and you can't just keep sitting there and leave the empty building. You know, my parents wanted to be put in use. This all happened very quickly for us. I only found out that week, you know, that this was going ahead. So I was trying to come to terms with moving out of my home. And yeah, from that Friday, then when the news spread, that's when we start getting hate as well. And we were being harassed. Like, there was people outside taking pictures, giving interviews, but they never came in. They were looking in our windows, but they never came in to hear our side of the story or to hear why we had chosen to do this.
So you felt very isolated.
Yeah, I felt like I couldn't leave. I felt like I couldn't walk up the town without being targeted or having dirty looks thrown at me or abuse. So I felt isolated, and my whole family did, and I felt like I had to stay in the hotel because if I went out, I was facing abuse.
But you didn't expect this type of reaction from some?
We always knew there was going to be some people that, you know, wouldn't agree with it, but I never expected to be nearly burnt out of my home. I might not be on this phone to you today. I might be not alive. My dad might not be alive. My family could be planning a funeral. And if it happened a few weeks ago, we had a whole load of family over, and there could be more fatalities. Thank God that there wasn't, and my dad got out and he's safe. But this doesn't represent the people of Mobile. They're lovely people, and it's a lovely town, and Donegal is lovely too. This doesn't represent them. This is just one bad apple that has done this.
Meanwhile, Donegal County Council is asking the government to clarify a number of planning issues amid claims that the decisions are being made on the basis of guidelines which the EU has called into question. Councillor Paul Canning raised the issue in the context of the recent decision to house up to 100 asylum seekers in Mobile, saying that requires no planning, while people in the area find it almost impossible to get permission to build. At a meeting in Lifford last evening, Councillor Canning claimed the government is acting against the best interests of people in Donegal.
Whenever you have young people looking to build in rural areas, and even if there's only 3 mile up the road, they can't get building. And that was wrong, and the European Court of Justice said that is wrong. The problem we have at the minute is the government, the department, are changing rules and changing policies to suit themselves. I'm disappointed in so far as the likes of Alan Kelly, he brought in a regulation that suited the refugees coming into this country, that anybody bringing them in didn't have to do a change of use of premises. But yet and all, we have young people that are living in the areas of Muff, Redcastle, Quigley's Point, that are looking to build in the areas of Mobile. We can't get them planning permission, but we can land 100 asylum seekers into the middle of Mobile without any legislation. I think it's totally wrong on the people of Mobile what's happening, and I blame departments for trying to steamroll legislation on top of us, and I think it's wrong.
What's happening in Mobile in terms of the notice given to people, etc., is one debate. People getting planning permission to build is another debate. You're conflating the two. Some would argue they're not really linked.
They're linked in so far as the local people in the area are being put to the one side by the department that are allowing other people to come in from as far as Africa. We are not looking after the people in Muff, we're not looking after the people in Quigley's Point, but yet and all we are being told to look after the people from Africa.
Cabinet has today agreed to establish a new relief fund on a permanent basis to aid communities, voluntary groups, sports clubs and businesses deal with the impact of major flooding events. In announcing the fund, Donegal Minister Joe McHugh says it was something he was hugely conscious of in the wake of the Inishowen floods in August of 2017, and believes it should bring clarity to humanitarian response and allow faster financial support be received. Tina Gates has more details.
Previously, flood relief schemes after events like Storm Desmond and Storm Eleanor operated on an ad hoc basis. Now, the scheme would allow businesses and organisations who suffered flood damage but who've been refused flood insurance to qualify for a quick payment of up to €5,000. More serious cases would be assessed for further payments of up to €15,000. The scheme's designed to give assurance to small businesses in flood-prone areas, as well as voluntary community and sporting bodies.
A gun attack in Derry last night has been widely condemned. The incident, which involved a shotgun being fired at a van driven by a community worker, happened in the Waterside area. Greg Hughes has more.
Police say shortly after 8 p.m. they received reports that a masked man had fired a shotgun at a van in Cluneyville Avenue, breaking the window and lodging pellets in the passenger headrest. The 37-year-old male driver, who was alone in the vehicle, was unharmed. Police believe the gunman made his escape on foot along the alleyway that runs down the back of Bond Street. Appealing for information, police say they want to speak to anyone who was in the Bond Street, May Street or Cluneyville Avenue areas at around 8 p.m. last night and may have information that could assist the investigation. Alternatively, they say information can also be provided to the independent charity Crime Stoppers.
DUP Councillor David Ramsay believes the man's work with Resolution Northwest may have been a contributing factor to what he believes is attempted murder.
They would deal with threats of violence, they would deal with neighbourhood disputes. Like recently, qualifications for mediation, etc., have been carried out, and I would actually on the board myself. But the majority of work that Resolution Northwest would do, it doesn't be in the limelight. It's background work, and it's very, very useful, and it's been very useful for 5 years. It's concerning for the Waterside area, because this is a quiet area, mainly older people, and yes, Resolution Northwest do a lot of good work, and we are fearful that some of that work may have led to this. But as I say, the police are going to do their investigations, and we hope that we will get to the bottom of it. And witnesses who last night seen things but didn't think anything of it, now knowing what happened, are coming forward, so hopefully we will get to the root of this.
Meanwhile, detectives from the PSNI's major investigation team investigating the murder of a 52-year-old man in the Craigan Street area of Derry in the early hours of Sunday morning have been granted an additional 36 hours to question two men aged 26 and 31 who were arrested on suspicion of murder. A 35-year-old woman and 19-year-old man who were also arrested in connection with the incident remain in custody. Donegal County Council is seeking a meeting with Environment Minister Owen Murphy to discuss the tenant purchase scheme. A number of issues with the scheme, which has been in operation since 2016, have been raised by members, most recently by Councillor Kieran Brogan, who told the Council's November meeting this week that many people who have been in council houses long term and now have the ability to buy their home are being told they cannot. Councillor Brogan says this is particularly the case where the tenant's income is pension based. He says that must now change.
A lot of people who are living in their houses maybe over 40 years and some of them 50 years are being told now under this current tenant purchase scheme that they don't qualify to purchase their home. I think it's wrong. We agreed this a couple of years ago. There was a national review taking place. I've now got the full support of council here today to meet with the Minister of Housing as a matter of urgency to review the policy. These people have been living in their homes and it is their homes for a long, long, long time, and I think it's very, very unfair to turn around and tell them, because for the first time in their lives they have the money that could purchase their own home. So this is something that needs to be looked at as a matter of urgency. I'm delighted we've got the full cross-party support today to ask the Cathaoirleach to meet the Minister of Housing as a matter of urgency, because it's a very, very emotive issue for many, many people.
And this is a national issue. It's not Donegal County Council turning them down. It's effectively government policy. It's national law.
That's correct. Our officials in Donegal County Council are only complying with the tenant purchase scheme that's there. This came out a number of years ago and blaze of glory and was supposed to be the greatest scheme of all time. In fact, it's not. It's not meeting the needs of our tenants. We need to look at something that meets the needs of the tenants in our council housing, because it's a very, very important thing for people eventually to be in a position to buy their own home. And I think we need to do what we can. And I think as a council and the department as well can generate huge income from this. So we need to look at it as a matter of urgency and see exactly what the needs of the people are.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. With great offers in the Cyber Monday sale, in-store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's now 5:15 and time for the latest sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. Donegal cyclist Philip Dagenham has announced his retirement from the sport. The 35-year-old from Letterkenny has spent the past 5 years with Team Sky and says he makes his decision with a combination of sadness and a huge sense of pride and optimism. The highlight of Dagenham's career was a Stage 1 in the 2009 Vuelta España, which was Ireland's first Grand Tour Stage 1 in 17 years. Dagenham says he feels grateful and proud to have finished his career with what he calls the best team in the world. Philip was on the Irish team that went to the 2008 Olympic Games in Beijing. Patsy McGonigal was in charge of the Irish team in China that year.
His career built from, he was 15 years of age, cycling to Cranford, and you know, and just such a determined young man on those days. And he was always going to get there. And it was a delight to have him on the team in Beijing. And himself and Stephen Roach were the cyclists on that particular team. And I was pretty proud the fact that he was a Donegal man. But you know, he's been in elite sport. I was just working it out this morning. He's probably been in the elite global scene since about maybe 12 years, you know, and that's a long, long career. And he's just, and I would also suggest that he's probably one of our, you know, top 10 Donegal sport stars ever, you know, I mean, in terms of achievement, in terms of being at elite world level for such a long time.
Patsy McGonigal speaking on the retirement of Donegal cyclist Philip Dagenham. To soccer, former Derry City player Patrick McIlhenny has won the last of this season's SSA or Trusty League Player of the Month award. The Dundalk playmaker has been rewarded for his role in the Lilywhites completing a league and cup double. Manchester City need only a point away to Lyon tonight to secure their passage to the Champions League knockout phase with a game to spare. A win would mean City are guaranteed top spot in Group F. The other game in that group also kicks off at 8 with Hoffenheim entertaining Shakhtar Donetsk. Manchester United could also qualify for the last 16 tonight if they won at home to Young Boys and Valencia lose away to Juventus. United haven't been in good form in front of their home crowd. The draw with Crystal Palace last Saturday means United have won just 3 of their 9 games at Old Trafford this season. Manager Jose Mourinho has dismissed suggestions as players are struggling to perform in front of their own supporters.
If you feel pressure, stay at home. But when I say home, I don't say stadium home. I say home and watch on TV. If you feel pressure to play matches at home where the people come to support. Come on, I never felt pressure to play at home.
The quarterfinal lineup in the EFL Cup will be completed tonight. Leicester and Southampton play their rearranged round 4 game at the King Power. Kickoff there is at 7:45 with a home quarterfinal with holders Manchester City awaiting the winners. GA President John Horan insists they're not a knee-jerk organisation, despite agreeing to meet with the GPA over incoming football rule changes. The Players Association is unhappy that the changes are to be trialled in next year's Alliance Leagues. The limiting of 3 consecutive hand passes is the rule with which the GPA have the biggest problem, with 96% of their membership believed to be against it. Horan says the decisions of Central Council are unlikely to be reversed so quickly. And in snooker, Ken Doherty's through to the second round of the UK Championships in York. The former world champion beat Chinese player Xing Zhang Wan on a scoreline of 6 frames to 2. Gerard Green's in action later, taking on Dominic Deal. There's more at the Highland Sports Desk tomorrow morning after the 8 o'clock news, Michaela.
Thanks, Oisin. And returning to some news, the review of the National Broadband Plan bidding process raises more questions than it answers, according to Fianna Fáil. The auditor's review found former Communications Minister Dennis Naughton didn't undermine the process through multiple meetings with a businessman involved in the final consortium looking for the contract. Our political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
Neither the former minister nor David McCourt had the opportunity to influence the conduct of the tender process. That's the recommendation from independent auditor Peter Smith. Communications Minister Richard Bruton welcomed it.
He is able to categorically conclude that the process has been insulated, that Dennis Naughton did not have the opportunity to influence this, nor did David McCourt, and that he didn't seek to influence and he didn't influence.
But Fianna Fáil's communications spokesperson Timmy Dooley says this report raises more questions than answers.
At a minimum, it's clear to me that there are significant breaches of the canvassing section of the rules that apply to this national broadband plan, and there's clear breaches.
Peter Smith's report acknowledges there were 2 meetings and a phone call where he couldn't verify if the broadband tender process was discussed. He's relying on Dennis Naughton and David McCourt's version of events of those meetings. Social Democrats TD Catherine Murphy says that isn't good enough.
I think we've gone way beyond the trust me style of process. It has to be a more rigid process.
In a statement this evening, Dennis Naughton's welcomed the finding that the process hasn't been tainted, but there's still a huge question mark over when high-speed broadband will be available across the country. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
The campaign for a clean estuary in Moville is accusing Irish Water of persisting with a discredited model for a new Moville surge system. At an information meeting last night, Irish Water representatives presented an outline of their draft plans for Moville, but the campaign group claims the plan is effectively built on the model designed previously by Donegal County Council. Campaign spokesperson Enda Craig says in light of opposition to the location of the plant, it would seem no lessons have been learned.
I could put it in 2 words, Groundhog Day. They are actually going to the same discredited plant site that generated all the controversy the last time round, and they're going into the foil the same place. They are actually repeating the mistakes of the past, and there will be open war again. They were very pleasant and very, very civilised, but as we see it at the minute, they have built a bigger bulldozer and they think that that is going to get them through here. But there was a huge crowd of people, and it was plain to be seen that there, this time round, there is massive opposition. The thing that people cannot understand, this was supposed to be a brand new process that everybody in the community would have their say, and quite unbelievably, it is not. It is the same old, and here we go again.
So we're back to Carnegarve once again, as far as Irish Water are concerned. This is something that you would have perhaps believed in the past was now going to be off the table.
Well, without a shadow of a doubt. We proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that what happened in Carnegarve was completely wrong. We showed them maps that were hidden from us the last time. I think they were actually a little bit surprised and didn't seem to be actually that sure about it. But nevertheless, you know, this was a discredited site. This was a discredited discharge into the Foyle. They had to abandon both. And quite unbelievably, for reasons that nobody can understand, $5 million was squandered, and here they come again. We're going to call for a public inquiry to investigate the carry-on that's going on here.
And finally, two-thirds of people believe Gardaí are effective in tackling crime. The latest Garda Public Attitudes report also finds nearly half of those surveyed thinking Garda Síochána are not dealing with the issues that matter most to people. Sian Beattie has more.
This survey interviewed 1,500 people between July and September to find out how the public feels about the work of the Gardaí. The results are a mixed bag, with 66% of people saying the force was effective in tackling crime, 92% said Gardaí were friendly or helpful, and 45% thought an Garda Síochána provides a world-class service. However, 37% of respondents said community relations with the force were poor, 43% said the Gardaí are not dealing with the things that matter most to people in their area, 71% think national crime is a serious problem, 60% say fear of crime has no impact on their life, but that's down from 70% last year. And when asked if Gardaí in their area treat everyone fairly, 79% of people said yes.
For weather now, dry at first tonight, but rain will spread to all parts overnight with some heavy bursts, becoming very windy and southeasterly winds increasing, strong to gale force and gusty, with lowest temperatures tonight of 4 to 7 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, the HSE has confirmed that 10 of the 19 beds in Letterkenny University Hospital's short-stay ward will be in operation by January, provided staff are in place. In response to a question put forward by Councillor Jerry McMoneagall at today's Regional Health Forum meeting, the HSE said they have received some funding under SEALTA's winter planning process to open the beds and will continue to work towards opening the remaining 9 beds, dependent on availability, funding and staff recruitment. The daughter of the owners of the Cashel Mara Hotel in Mobile says the family could have been attending a funeral today after the building was set alight at the weekend. Aoife McKenna has lived in the hotel with her parents for the past 4 years, and on today's 9 till noon show, she recalled how she arrived to the hotel last Saturday night to see the building on fire and her father trying to get out. Donegal County Council is seeking a meeting with Environment Minister O'Murphy to discuss the tenant purchase scheme. A number of issues with the scheme, which has been in operation since 2016, have been raised by members, most recently by Councillor Kieran Brogan, who told the Council's November meeting this week that many people who have been in council homes long term and now have the ability to buy their home are being told they cannot. And a gun attack in Derry last night has been widely condemned. The incident, which involved a shotgun being fired at a van driven by a community worker, happened in the Waterside area at around 8 o'clock. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Tuesday evening, November the 27th. The death has taken place of Elaine McGlinchey, née Porter, Mahara boy, Killy Gordon. Remains are reposing at her home this evening from 6 o'clock. Funeral leaving her home on Thursday afternoon at 1:15 for service of Thanksgiving in St Patrick's Church, Dunamore at 2 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers placed to the Foyle Hospice, Kev Quigley, Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Lena Burns, 19 Glebe Park, Sy Mills. Remains reposing at her home this evening from 7:30. Funeral from her home on Thursday morning at 9:15 for Requiem Mass in St. Teresa's Church, Sy Mills at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time plays from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Mickey Quinn, Dunmore, Fulcara. Remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral on Thursday morning with 11 o'clock Mass in St. Finian's Church, Fulcara, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Rosary both nights at 9 o'clock, house private from 11 p.m. until 10 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to the patient's comfort fund, Lake House Care of any family member or carton undertakers. The death has taken place of Mary McLaughlin at Crossroads, Tubin, Burnfoot. Her remains are reposing at Murphy's Funeral Home today until 10 o'clock and tomorrow from 3 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. with removal at 6:30 p.m. to St. Mary's Church Fawn to repose overnight. Requiem Mass on Thursday morning at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, donations in lieu of desire to Surgical One, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Murphy Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of John Joe McBride, Devlin Ray, Carrigart. Remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there on Thursday morning to the Church of St. John the Baptist for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family time plays from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. The death has occurred of Rosemary Doherty, a Hilly Buncrana, Nafarn, Redcastle. Remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Thursday morning at 10:15, going to St. Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for 11 o'clock at Requiem Mass. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, donations in lieu of desire to the oncology unit at Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. And the death has taken place of Ethna Fisher, Nae McLaughlin, 4 Aberfoyle Crescent, Derry. Funeral from her home tomorrow morning at 9:20 for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church at Pennyburn. Interment afterwards in the city cemetery. House private, please, from 10:30 tonight.